PT, I was thinking of you when you were saying, he's a man, he had a beard. I don't know why it made me think of that when he was talking there, but.
That sounds about right.
He's a man, what are you trying to do? All right, the first voice you heard, David Falk, who represented Michael Jordan as his agent throughout the entirety of MJ's career. That was from The Last Dance, the documentary on Michael Jordan, which is airing Sunday nights on ESPN. And we are very thrilled to be joined by Sonny Vaccaro now via the Brown and Crouppen celebrity line. Sonny, the former Nike marketing exec that landed Michael Jordan. Sonny, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. It's always nice hearing David's wonderful melodic voice comes through on the telephone for me.
Absolutely. Sonny, we watched the episodes last night, including the episode 5 when MJ's talking about how, you know, he wanted to sign with Adidas. Walk us through the early part of sitting down with David Falk, MJ, and trying to convince him to go with Nike.
Well, it wasn't so much convincing him, David Falk, it was convincing Michael. David really, you know, whoever it would have been, David would have been partners with the shoe company. And David, you know, Spot Build and a lot of other people were involved. But the real decision came down to, you know, Nike and Michael and how they were going to market him. The key to this episode was that, you know, there's a lot of people want to forget or don't remember, is Rob Strasser and Nike, you know, before this started the mushroom, wanted to go after one athlete or more in that particular class, the draft class. And that's how I was inserted into the game plan. I was, at that time, just being employed by Nike. We had probably every college in America wearing Nike shoes from that point. In fact, 1984, we had all four teams. Fast forward to Jordan. They invited me to a meeting that they had never had before. They had some pros in the shoe. There were some good pros, but in the prior to Jordan, nothing really meant anything. The advertising wasn't, there was no advertising. It was the back of Sports Illustrated or something like that. And there were plenty of great players, you know, playing in the NBA that the world just didn't know of, that's all. So they had this meeting and they asked me a question, you know, which one of this list in that class would want to, you know, should we go after? They wanted to sign three people. We had $500,000 to spend as a company, the total money. And I said, give it all the kid. And basically, that's how it started. Now, fast forward to Michael. I meet him at Tony Romo's, a week later, 2 weeks later, you know, and we discussed Nike for the first time in his life. I mean, they never wore it. North Carolina wore Converse. He was infatuated with Adidas, as a lot of kids in that era were. Adidas had the best sweatsuits and the best, you know, they had leather, everything. They were the style. Michael was not consumed by whatever the contract was going to be, because the contracts in those days were around $100,000 to the greatest players of that era, and most of them wore Converse, because Converse owned a basketball sneaker at that time. And Michael just wanted to sign. The other companies offered him $100,000 or in that vicinity, no more. Michael was ready to go. And then David and I and Rob Strasser had a meeting at the Le Hermitage Hotel, three people, Rob Strasser, Sonny Vaccaro, and David Falk, going over the chances of Nike getting him and changing Michael's mind. At that time, his mind was not made up. He was going to go Adidas. Adidas wasn't going to give him any money, and they weren't going to market him individually, as was Converse and Spot Buell couldn't market themselves at that time. So we understand the key to the whole world is Nike, through Rob and Peter Moore and Phil Knight giving us the money, was going to market the first athlete, you know, in a marketing campaign. Therefore, eventually, we changed Michael's mind that day. Rob Strasser and David Falk came up with a paying method where Michael would make something on a shoe or a little bit of money. Michael would make more on the shoe and less off the shoe, off the royalties of the shoe. It all was born, began, and eventually signed at the Hermitage Hotel prior to the Olympics in that game. Later on, David and Rob and Michael and everybody and his parents were very influential. In fact, I don't believe if James and Dolores would have gotten involved, Michael may not have even gone to the final meeting. He wanted to go with Adidas. The key to it was Air Jordan, and I just heard you know, for the millionth time, you know, David explaining Air Jordan, and he is right. He came up with the term with the help of Rob Strasser, who was my boss, who passed away at that time. He was a legendary figure in the whole shoe industry, and they come up with Air Jordan. Now, logic dictates, at that time, Nike had a shoe called Air. I don't know if any of you guys are old enough to remember the Air models.
Oh, yeah.
Barkley ended up wearing, a lot of people wore the Air. Nike had that word, thinking that Air was going to give you a bounce off the tennis shoes and all that sort of stuff. David was basically just starting at that time. Basic was with another company that, you know, another person that, you know, he worked under for a long time, broke off and got Michael. He got him fair and square, and Michael liked him, and, you know, he got deals from Michael, as you said, the rest of his life. The Air Jordan thing corresponded with Rob doing Air within the Nike company, talked about. Also, the first iconic poster ever made of, you know, of Michael Jordan was the Jumpman. Now, we all know the commercial done was Michael standing in front of the fence and bouncing the ball and daring David Stern and everybody else stop him wearing the black and red shoe. We all remember that. The first poster was the iconic one where Michael's jumping over the moon, you know, Jumpman, okay? So that's how it started. Michael then relented to one thing that I told him at Tony Romo's. I said, they're going to put all their money in you. Remember, I was involved with switching him from two or three guys to one. So all the marketing money was going to go towards Jordan. That was a given. That was a promise. I told Michael that at Tony Romo's. So everything was done. David Falk absolutely played a great role. He had part of that. And you know what? Give him the whole role. I don't really give a darn. I mean, but if you're just logical, we did the Jumpman thing before anybody was doing that kind of posters. But, you know, we had Moses Malone with, like, God and Moses on top of the thing. We had, you know, the Iceman with, you know, a bunch of ice around him. Those posters were being made. But the Jumpman poster is the one, just the iconic thing. It went along with Jordan. Now, I want somebody to tell me, really, do you really remember Michael Jordan being the greatest dunk artist of all time at the University of North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this show?
No.
No, you don't. You don't. And you know because of Dean Smith's style. That wasn't going to happen. That's the irony of the whole theory. You know, what are we going to call it? Dunker Jordan? Air Jordan was a logical and then one of the greatest iconic names in the history of any marketing campaign. It's like fizz, fizz, booze, booze, right? Alka-Seltzer. All those great. Where's the beef? Air Jordan was. So I just wanted to put on the plate for your listening audience, okay? I don't know when he dunked at North Carolina. So let's give Rob Strasser and Peter Moore and David Falk. And he is Air Jordan. But damn, I don't know how we knew he was going to be the greatest dunker in the world.
Your turn, guys. I love it. I love hearing the backstory, everything involved. Hey, I'm interested, Sonny, because you did mention Phil Knight, the founder of Nike, and I'm wondering, did you have to talk him into this, like the way that you wanted to do it, where it's around one guy and Nike's going to pour into MJ? Did he have to be talked into that, or was Phil Knight fully behind that?
Well, good question. Phil Knight wasn't at the meeting. What meeting is that, gentlemen? The meeting where me, Howard Slusher, Rob Strasser, Howard White, I believe, was there. But I know that Slusher was almost equal to Rob Strasser, and he's still there today. Howard Slusher is a mainstay and a friend of Knight. He was a major agent who his fame was made from holding football players out of going to camp. I don't know if you remember that. There was a, you know, Skildany kid was a great punter from Ohio State. He held him out for a whole year. Then he held a couple of basketball. But Howard Slusher's still there. His son John got a great job. But he was always there. Phil Knight wasn't at the meeting. They wanted three, including Mr. Slusher, including Strasser, including everybody else. They come down to the kid who had no business in that meeting because I had nothing to do with the pros. I was getting 80 colleges and four of them were in the Final Four. That started Nike. They asked me a question. Why? Because Rob had belief they thought I knew the game of basketball, and I probably did. Okay? Now, they asked me this question, Slush did. Well, which three do you like signing? We are all picking the 10 names up here, pick three or four. We are going to divide the money. And as God is my judge, and I hope they strike me dead now, okay, and I live a long life, I just said something out of the clear blue sky, never said before. Give it all to the kid. It was just a phrase that someone like me, that's still the vocabulary, give it, Michael was a kid to me. Give it all to the kid. They said, what? They argued. Barkley, you know, John Stott, it was a great class. Go back and look at that class. You know, there's three or four in the Hall of Fame. You know, and Sam Bowie was going to be drafted by, you know, Portland. Sam was like the obvious guy, right? But thankfully, the coach there had another very good center, and they didn't take Sam Bowie, or they did, whatever, he was a guy, but that wasn't where we were going, a big man. Adidas was big in big men. That was true. I said, Jordan, give it all the kid. The only time I saw Michael Jordan play until he went to the pros with the Bulls was that game where he beat Georgetown, the shot from the left-hand side that won the national championship and deprived John Thompson of his first championship. I was very close to John and all the Hoyles. I did not know, nor had I ever seen. He never played in my All-Star game. He never went to my camp. I didn't know until I sat down and met him at Tony Romo's. Now, you talk to the odds. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this program. That's how it happened. Mr. Knight went along with what the guys wanted. We said, Jordan, they gave me $500,000. They gave it to Rob. They didn't give it to me. And said, see if we can get this kid. If not, we'll go back to Plan B because the other guys were still on the table. They weren't lining up to sign these other guys, although they were great, great players. Barkley's still offended to this day. In fact, I think Barkley wore the air shoe. You know? So hopefully that helps you in our short time strain, guys. Go ahead. But that's how Mr. Knight didn't know, but he went along with it. He usually said, yeah. I did until he fired me.
and so, Sonny, as we learned in the documentary last night, that your goal, the company's goal for that first couple of years was something like $3 or $4 million in sales, but you blew way past that in the first year. And like, not by just a little bit, it was by a considerable amount. Did you know
over
it was going to be that good?
$100 million more.
Yeah.
No. But I knew, I didn't know the numbers. You know, I never got involved. I know nothing about the shoe industry other than I know telling, I guess. I mean, that's the only way you can look at it if you want to be honest with yourselves and, you know, whatever it is. And I never pretended I knew how to make a shoe, what the hell the colors were. I didn't mix in. But I know players. So anyway, what happened was, and I don't know, I don't think David talked about this, but there was a hell of a lot of money left on the table because I don't believe he took the full 25% that Rob had in the first contract and less cash. I think they took the cash and less endorsement money. Well, it didn't make a difference over a lifetime because he's a trillionaire now. We all understand. But you can't play results, right? You can't play results because results happen. You got to play the game of poker when they deal you the cards you're dealt. That's the only hand you got right there. He took the money, didn't take the things. Obviously, it cost millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. No one knew it was going to sell. $136 million, I think, was the number, ladies and gentlemen listening. I really believe it was over $100 million in sales. Now, go back and get the equivalent of that in 1984. Some companies didn't do $136 million. And there's a company that, when I went to them, did $25 million in 1977 without a college program. Times they are changes, as Bobby Dylan would say.
Sonny, this was very enlightening, illuminating. We appreciate you taking the time, especially during a pandemic, to kind of come on and share some stories. And it was fascinating. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
You know what, guys? Keep the line open. I love to talk. Even if it's for three of you in a pandemic and you're in your basement or something, I just love to talk. So my wife says that's my best attribute other than being a good husband. All right?
That's not bad. Yeah.
Anytime, man. Okay.
Thank you, Sonny. Take care.
Okay. God bless and have a safe time. Bye-bye.
Same to you. That's Sonny Vaccaro, former Nike marketing exec. I don't know if we ever had a guest on, gentlemen, that we asked three questions and it filled 15 minutes.
That's called instant offense. It's a beautiful thing. Dude, when you got stories, man. Run with them.
Absolutely.
Love
and he's
it.
Certainly got them after being the one of the guys that signed Michael Jordan to the iconic Air Jordan Nike deal.
Yeah, what is that? They wanted $3 million or $4 million in the first 3 years, and they got about $126.
Is that good?
In year one.
Good return on investment?
I mean, that's hitting the lottery is what that is.
Absolutely. All right, that's Chris Ronji, Brad Thompson, Anthony Stalter, The Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. We have What's Trending Next on The Fast Lane, 101 ESPN.